Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Halleck, and joining me is somebody who I thought I knew, but I guess I don't anymore. After 70 episodes, the truth has come out. My fellow Marvel zombie, John Cimino, is now gone, and in his place, there is a DC go-go check. I don't know what this is about, so on this special Thanksgiving episode of the Power Cosmic, we're gonna put it out there. Now, I'm going to introduce my former friend and yours, Mr. Snapper Carr. Hello, former Marvel fan.
That's
you, John. That's you. Now, what happened to you this weekend, John? Why have you called me up screaming on Saturday morning when I was on a way to a convention with Mr. Jerry Gogochek Ordway, professing your love for the DC Universe? What happened, John?
Okay, let's get this thing straight. I'm the type of guy who looks at a comic book, and if the art is bad and the story's good, I can't get into it. But if the art is good and the story is bad, I love it. So what that means is it's visual for me, right, Mitchie? It's visual. Like you, when I look at you, it's a very visual thing to see, and I sometimes can't process.
Okay, focus here, John. Focus, Mr. ADT. Come on. What happened when the lights went out and the movie came on that caused you to become a DC fan?
What happens is the portrayal of characters, even if the movie's subpar or whatever, but the characters are portrayed correctly, I can enjoy it. I like it. Which leads me to Justice League. First off, I've already seen it 3 times.
Oh, my God.
And I love it. First off, let me hear you. You got to understand that Wonder Woman is the best superhero movie ever. It makes Mitchie sick. And Mitchie doesn't like her. Mitchie's crying in the show.
We're not talking about Wonder Woman. We're talking about the Justice League, John.
I know, but it stems from that. So what happens is, DC has been kind of influential to me. You know, I've been looking at it, and it's like, all right, this is good. So when it came to Thor 3, Ragnarok, I was like, ugh. And I'm going to tell you why it's ugh. Was it a good, fun movie? Yes, it was. Visually appealing? Yes, it was. But the Hulk is portrayed like a chump. If you look at Avengers 2, he gets beaten up by Iron Man. You look at friggin' The Incredible Hulk, that first one back in 2008, which was horrendous. He gets beaten up by the Abomination. And then, lo and behold, Thor 3, he gets beaten by Thor. Now, you can argue that maybe not, maybe this, blah, 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 but it's baloney because his matter stronger powers is not there. Mitch, let me ask you a question. Even though you got some ADD going on there, has the Hulk ever said in one of those movies that the matter Hulk gets, the stronger he gets?
No, it's just assumed.
No, is it assumed? When was it ever even shown that he does that? It hasn't been. It just says he's angry. I've always been angry. Bah. That's what I say to that. Bah. Okay. So, essentially, the Hulk's powers have never been shown. So he's just this big hulking guy. That, okay, he's got good tank power. He runs through things. But he's essentially Thor without the lightning. Because it looks like when Thor goes all out, he embraces his lightning and all that stuff. It looked like they were even. Okay, fine. But now Hulk doesn't get madder? No, he gets all groggy at the end of that fight. It looks like he's going to get beat. And Jerry Goldblum as the Grandmaster presses his button in and knocks out Thor. Why did he do that? You answer me that question first off, Mitchie. Why did he knock out Thor?
Because Thor was going to kick the Hulk's ass.
Yes, it did, because the Hulk was a little groggy. It wasn't a standoff. Yeah, and so you got people assuming, oh, wait a minute. No. He did it because he was going to beat their champion. Was he not? So right there, it's kind of like, okay. So Thor's more powerful, more stronger when he's all embraces his godhood. Okay, that's fine. That's how it established. But little Johnny? No, it just doesn't make sense to me. So now let's go to Justice League. Why Justice League was awesome, and I do love it. And I told you it was going to be a movie of moments. And let's all go back to the last episode before I go into this little rant. Mick said it was going to make 85. I said 100. It made 96. I win. I'm closest. The price is wrong.
All I know is it did not break $100 million. Based on Hollywood statistics, this movie will be declared a bomb because it will never, ever make as much as money. They needed to make this $1 billion, and it's not going to happen.
Okay, that's fine, but it doesn't mean Superman wasn't portrayed the way he should be. Because, spoiler alert, if anybody knows, when they raise Superman back from the dead, they do something which I wish they did with the Hulk. They established Superman as, hence, the strongest one there is. Because, I'm going to tell you, when he rises from the dead, what happens, Mitchie?
He starts beating up everybody, and they play the John Williams theme song.
Yeah, and what I love, and he even tosses aside Batman, kind of makes up for the mess on Batman Superman. Okay, fine. And what I love the best, because we live in a weird times. SJW, PC, politically correct, no.
We live in a world of alphabets.
Alphabets. So I was a little scared because I thought Wonder Woman was going to be on par with him or maybe even kick his butt because that woman's lib, feminism, they didn't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers. But no, he beats the crap out of her, too. And that made me so happy, so refreshed, because they finally established it. The whole meaning of that scene was to make Superman who he was. Like, hey, remember Jerry Woodward on the phone saying, unrestrained. And you know what Johnny says? Unrestrained, baby. So he kicks the crap out of everybody, and then when he comes and he sees Steppenwolf, he kicks the crap out of him. Okay, what makes me love it is they establish him as the top dog. The Incredible Hulk is supposed to be the strongest. He isn't. The Incredible Hulk is supposed to be the guy that everybody's afraid of. He isn't. He's the guy they tame, they beat up, and they make him a beatbag. And now he's all sad. I hate the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hate it! If I wasn't such a pansy, I should burn and melt all my DVDs. So ready for this, Mitchie? Long live the go-go checks. I'm a Superman fan. I'm a DC guy. Me and you, opposite ends from now on.
You heard it here, folks, right here on the Power Cosmic. John Cimino has been taken over by the spirit of Julie Schwartz, Mort Weisinger, and all the other people that created the DC Universe. He will no longer scream, make mine Marvel. He is no longer a card-carrying member of the Merry Marvel Marching Society. From now on, John Go-Go-Check Cimino will be selling only DC comic wear at the Random Flea Market, booth A89 and 90. Is that correct, John?
But let me make something clear. I've always been pro-Marvel, pro-Hulk, and all that stuff, as you know. But when it comes to the cinematic universe, unless something is changed, I'm a go-go chick.
All I know is that this latest Justice League movie, while it had its moments, was a clear ripoff of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That entire ending was just a jump shot trying to beat Marvel to the punch with their upcoming Avengers Infinity War. The combining of the three mother boxes at the end to unleash hell and all over the earth and make way for Darkseid was just a ripoff of what we've been watching for 10 years with the building up of the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos' ultimate revenge on the universe. This was just a cheap shot, a Kmart version of a Macy's quality product. This was made in China. This was not the USA All-American movie. This movie was just a poor man's version of what we're going to see next year when Avengers Infinity War. That's what I say.
Wow. But let's not forget, Thanos is just a pale imitation, and Stalin even said it himself, pale imitation of Darkseid. So, you know what? I go for the real stuff, Mitch. Jack Kirby created Darkseid, not Jim Stalin. I mean, like, come on. You act like it's a big switcheroo here. DC did it first. Okay, maybe Marvel did it at the movies, but DC did it first.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Do you hear what you're saying? My God, did you see the same movie I did? I didn't know Bruce Wayne was also the Michelin Man. That costume was so big and awkward, it made me look athletic. I could have put on the bat suit.
I love Ben Affleck. To tell you the truth, I think he's the best Batman ever.
Oh, my God, man.
And you know who agrees with me? You know who agrees with me?
Matches Malone.
Yeah, baby.
Matches Malone, for those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, is the world-renowned cosplayer based here in the Bay State of New England area. He is the Batman for kids and grown-ups all around.
World-renowned? Wow.
World-renowned Matches Malone. That's right.
Well,
I don't know.
I enjoyed it.
And what about The Flash? Come on. There was a couple scenes in that movie that just made me roll my eyes and groan out loud.
You didn't like when he pushed the sword back into Wonder Woman's hand?
That was a cute moment. But what about when The Flash and Cyborg were digging up Superman's body? One of the stupidest scenes I've ever seen portrayed on the big screen.
What happened?
They could have dug him up in the blink of an eye, for God's sake. They got super speed and robotic power, and they're over there chatting up a storm. It was just a silly moment, if you ask me.
You didn't like when Superman was kicking butt and Superman saw him and he couldn't believe that Superman could see him and they were kind of fighting on their own time? Like you see Wonder Woman in the background and they're fighting beyond everybody else? That was good.
I thought it was silly that they had a total CGI villain. Why couldn't they get an actor to play Steppenwolf? It looked like they were beating up on a video game in the last couple scenes.
Who's the voice?
What?
Who's the voice of
who cares? That's the answer. All I know is there's a couple great moments in the movie. I like the cameo of the Green Lantern. Not the one. That was cool. And Jerry said that was the Wizard Shazam at that battle. Do you concur?
Oh, really?
The magician in that flashback.
I got to get my DC. I got to get my DC eyes. I got to change my whole life now. This is a lifestyle change. So I got to, like, when I go into those movies, I got to see things I'm not going to see. It's like I'm a baby, bitch.
Well, Mr. Gogo Check Ordway himself was calling out all the DC references since he's not a bandwagoner like yourself. He's the one that was born and raised to lift the pencil to put on the Detective Comics product.
Mitch, if you want me back, you need to write to Kevin Feige or Fiji or Fugi or Fuji or Fucky. You write to this guy and you tell him John needs the Hulk the way he's supposed to be.
Oh, it's a strong task. It's almost like The Exorcism. Do I really want to compel the power of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee to drive out the what do they call them? Parademons from your soul. What a day this has been.
You know who's in me, Mitch? Dead man's in me right now.
Oh, my God. All I know is it's a good thing this happened. It's come to light because you cornered me with this accusation of being a pure DC fan, and there was nothing else I had to do. I had to go down to the Garden State of New Jersey to the New Jersey Comic Expo and reunite with our long-lost pal, Scott Martin, and he, I have to tell you this, don't feel bad, he actually spoke on these very airwaves for over half an hour and put John Cimino to shame as he became the new co-host of the Power Cosmic podcast.
That's the way it's got to be. It's got to be.
So you better go dig up somebody like maybe Paul Kupperberg or Cooperberg or whatever we call him, Paulie the K, Cuppy for his friends. Maybe he can host a podcast with you.
It's gonna be. I'm a Superman guy. Superman.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill, fantastic.
Since this is a Thanksgiving episode, I'm gonna put a second helping, as they used to say on the old long lambasted, long gone, maybe it's not over yet, Secret Identity. And I will also serve up a second helping of the Power Cosmic Podcast. And the people that continue to listen to this show, maybe they're driving to Grandma's house this weekend, maybe they're going over the hill and through the woods, and they want to hear something funny, and there's nothing else on but this, they will hear me and Scott Martin talk about comic books, movies, and more on this very show. And as an added bonus, if that wasn't enough, the pinup page, I'm going to play the long-lost episode of when Scott Martin himself hijacked the Power Cosmic Podcast and did his own show. What do you think about that, Johnny?
I'm looking on the Power Cosmic news feed. Number one story of the day. Charles Manson's dead. Number two, David Cassidy's is about to go into the great beyond. Number three, John Cimino defects to DC. Wow!
That's how you put it up there, huh? The death of a madman, the death of a teen icon, and the death of a former Marvel zombie. That's the way I see it, John.
Oh, look at that. I see that. Those are the biggest stories of the day.
They say death comes in three, and I guess they weren't kidding. And out of all three of those people that you mentioned, the biggest one, the most heart-wrenching one for everybody listening to this show, all three of you, including Scott Martin, is the death of little Johnny Cimino's Marvel fandom.
Could you believe? I mean, think about that. Can you believe it has come to this?
No, I haven't. And let's go back and check the records. I said the movie would not make more than $85 million. I was wrong. You said the movie would make over $100 million. You were wrong.
No, I said $100 million.
It came in at $96 million, you jackass. What do you say about that, Johnny?
Like I said, I win because I'm closer. I'm $4,000 off.
Well, all I know is this weekend I was in two different comic book conventions, one in the Garden State and one in the Elm City, my hometown of New Haven, where I encountered not once this weekend but twice Kenny Lawrence, proprietor of the once-famed Super Mega Fest, and he was out there trying to sell his stolen items he got from a tag sale or a grandma's attic, and he...
Goodwill.
And he climbed in those big square boxes that say donate to the poor, and he pulled out some trinkets and was selling them this weekend. He was shocked at the revelation of your turn, your transformation into a DC fan. Jimmy Gambino, he of the proprietor of ill-gotten pinups, was also shocked. And worst of all, Frank Caz, the grumpy gnome, as we come to know him and love him.
I love these esteemed scholars you're asking about that, so I don't feel so bad.
He was just falling down back. That was my Warriors 3 this weekend, those three guys. How do you think I felt?
Warriors 3, that's awesome.
I call them the Warriors 3, because they're always worried about getting caught by the cops.
Gambino's definitely Volstagg because he's the heftiest one. He's got him and his sausage.
And then Hogan is Frank because he's got that mean attitude going on. And Frandell would be, of course, Kenny because he's the good looking one.
You sure? I thought Frank Cass was the best looking. They're all a little off. They all got ailments. I mean, like, let's be honest.
I don't know, but the funniest thing I watched, Frank, I got a box of Spider-Man cookie cereal from 1991 from Frank. He gave it to me for free.
Yeah, but Rich, the funny thing is those are still in Frank Cass' cabinet. He's still eating.
It came shrink-wrapped with a Spider-Man bank right next to the Batman one. I'll put it there. But he had a bunch of cool stuff there. I also picked up this weekend the long-lost, I always wanted it back, I have it in my hands again, The Spirit, Issue 1, Magazine, April 1974, Warren Magazine. What do you think about that, Johnny? You don't care.
Which is the one from DC? The one from DC Comics?
No, Warren Magazine. The people that made Vampirella and Creepy.
Oh, The Shadow? You mean Batman?
No, the Spirit. The Spirit. Will Eisner's The Spirit.
I thought you said The Shadow. Okay, The Spirit. Oh, wow, the Eisner thing.
Yeah, and one of the best things, whatever, in the back, I love looking at...
Ready? What I think of Eisner? I know people are not going to like this.
Don't say it. Oh, Will Eisner, one of the greatest draftsmen in history. The ultimate in sequential storytelling.
I agree, he is, but I never cared about his stuff. Oh, I never liked his spirit.
I just wanted to call this out to you. There's an ad on page 50 of this magazine from 1974, and there it is, John. Buy the Mego Superheroes, 8 inches high, lifelike, movable, posable action figures, authentic color costumes. You ready for this? $2.49 each. And the offerings were Batman, Superman, Robin, Captain Marvel, Aquaman, Tarzan, Spider-Man, and Captain America.
Did they say lifelike?
Yeah, I don't know how that got in there. I was just thinking, well, they're not real, so how can they be lifelike?
That's a good ploy. Kids would probably go nuts for that. Well, that's the first time you saw those type of figures.
Here's the rest of the copy. Action figures. Here they are. Move them. Set them in heroic poses. Make them climb your bookshelf. Slug it out on your windowsill. Use them as models when you draw your superhero comic strip or as dummies for stop-motion animation filming. Each is 8 inches high and has a costume of real cloth. Look at that. $2.49 each.
Those are fantastic. What was your favorite? There's a lot of great Mego figures. I love the Captain America face. I love the Batman face. But you know what my favorite one of all time was?
Falcon?
Captain Marvel, baby. Shazam.
I was going to say Falcon. And in the back of this magazine, you can also get 8mm film reels and a bunch of other cool stuff and record albums. But that's it. But I diverge. I go off my little tirade. We were just talking about DC Marvel. Now, are you also going to say from now on, you're going to go and only seek out old stuff? Did you not give up your Wayne Foundation Mego set this weekend?
Yeah, I sold that this weekend. It's going to be funny. I don't know. It's been the DC extravaganza for me. And Mitch, look at you. You seem to be, where are we going in a few weeks?
We're going to go to Ace Comic Con in Long Island, and we're going to meet the stars of the Justice League. Gal Gadot, Henry Cavill, whoever that kid is that plays the Flash, whoever the guy is that plays Cyborg, and the Jason Momoa. That's how no Ben Affleck, though. You didn't bother Jason Momoa's bad contact lenses as Aquaman. That didn't disturb you.
No, you know what? Don't stir me. You can tell Ben Affleck drinks. You can tell he's an out.
Why? Because he looked bloated?
Yeah, he's a little puffy.
There was a couple scenes I was like, who put the helium in besides Ben Affleck? His head looks like it's going to pop.
Well, because he's like, you know, he's puffy. He likes the booze.
Maybe he's on the roids. Maybe he's on the steroids.
Oh, I think it's a combination of a few things, but when I see him, you can tell he boozes. I'm like, he's got a drinking problem.
He's a hound, man. He's a hound. He likes.
And Alfred? Alfred, do you like that guy?
Oh, yeah, James. What the hell's his name?
I don't even know.
Oh, he's like a real actor. You know, he was the voice of Scar in that Lion King movie. I can't think of his name right now. Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, he's a famous guy. He has like that iconic voice and all that too.
Yes, he does.
What do I think of him as Alfred? I don't think much of him as Alfred.
Oh, and what did you think of J. Jonah Jameson as Commissioner Gordon?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, Mickey's mad.
Mickey smash.
Anybody's better than Tobey Maguire.
Shut up. I love Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
I'm going to cry. Tobey Maguire.
Stop it. Stop it right now. Spider-Man 2, one of the best superhero movies ever. Ever!
Well, story-wise and all that, I'll agree with you, yeah. But when I see Tobey Maguire, oh,
it's
so bad.
It's
I have
over.
To admit, though, no, the reason why it was so good, too, is the casting of Doc Ock. That guy was
perfect. Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. He was the right combination of portly villain and mad scientist.
Yeah, he was. But, oh, my God. Tobey Maguire. And what about Ugly Mary Jane? Come on.
She's got some weird teeth going on there, but she's all right. She's not what I consider hot Mary Jane. She was more like the diner version of Mary Jane, maybe, you know. Somebody at a checkout counter at a Walmart, that's what you kind of look like. I was like, really? That's the best you got? We're talking a supermodel here. Come on.
That's what Mary Jane's supposed to be. You know, what do you want from me?
I know she's supposed to be a supermodel. That's not what I was thinking when I saw her, you know? What are you going to do? Did you watch it? Now, I know you and your ill-gotten game when you saw these movies. Did you see all the bonus sequence and the after-credit scenes, or you didn't get those?
No, I did.
Did you see Joe Manganiello, a.k.a. Flash Thompson from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, playing Deathstroke at the end?
Yeah, I know he's going to be Deathstroke. I thought that's kind of cool. Yeah, I have to admit the casting. The guy who plays
Lex Luthor.
What are we doing here?
Jesse Eisenberg. I was like, you got to get rid of that guy. You got to go.
So got to get rid of that guy. And now, what are the rumors that Batfleck is going to turn into, he's going, right? Mr. Affleck.
That's what they say. He's out of here. But I heard Jake Gyllenhaal, who was once rumored to be Spider-Man back in the day, might be putting the cowl on.
Let me ask you a question, Mitch. What? Why is that? Because he was going to direct and write Batman. Why is he stepping down? There's got to be something behind the scenes that's going on.
I don't know. I think he bit off more than he could chew, and then once he started seeing the bad reviews for Batman Superman, he cowed down. He gave up. He said, oh, I guess I can't do this. I'm not worthy. So that's
you don't think the Harvey Weinstein thing, and they kind of told him, you think he should
No, this was this was happening before the Harvey Weinstein thing broke. So
he's getting out of there because sink or swim, he doesn't want to sink, and it's going to ruin his career.
He's getting older. I mean, his Batman is supposed to be the 20-year-old veteran Batman that's been around for a while. Maybe they want to go young. I don't know what's going to happen.
Isn't he supposed to be the dejected, the older Batman, and now all of a sudden Batman's young again?
Yeah. They kept saying he was fighting crime for 20 years, so you figure he's got to be almost 50. That's his version of Batman.
Yeah, but then Jerry Hall, whatever his name is.
Gyllenhaal.
Does he just become young and that's that?
Possibly. I mean, the whole thing's kind of cockeyed. When they were playing the Batman theme from the 89 show, I'm like, whatever, you know?
Yeah, but they made a big deal. I mean, you heard it, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
The only thing I have left to do is to convert you to become a Star Wars fan. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
No, but the problem with Star Wars is I see Han Solo and I see you, and it drives me freaking nuts.
Most people do confuse Harrison Ford for me.
No, they just see, like, Mitch likes this guy so much, I want to kill her. So happy. I was like, nobody cheered. And I didn't go to the theater to see it in that crap, but when he died, I was like, I saw your face, and I was like, thank God.
That is where Star Wars fandom and me died. Right there, that scene.
The only person I love that's obsessed with something other than me, but that love is Les. Les David. I love that guy so much that I can tolerate Indiana Jones. Because even as a kid, I always hated Harrison Ford. But the fact that you like him, oh my God, it makes me even like hate him more. Why is that, Mitch?
I don't know, John. I don't know. In the spirit of hate and the time of coming together and the brotherhood of men and all that stuff, as we get here towards the Thanksgiving holiday, I'm going to pull it all back, John, and try to get you to come back from the dark side. To once again, I'm going to give you this. I am going to be the devil tempting Jesus once again on the edge of the mountain. I'm going to ask you, on the bottom of our hearts, from the people that watched all the Spider-Mans, all the old Hulk TV shows, John, why hast thou forsaken the Excelsior? Could you please come back, John?
Well, the thing is, you want me back? I need the Hulk to come back. I need the Hulk to be established. It's too much for me, Mitch. Let's bring in Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, not going to happen, John. It's not going to happen. All right, I'm going to, like I said, there's going to be a bonus half hour on this episode and then a little Scott Martin short, a selected short, as we say in the old days. What would you like to tell the people out there? What are you thankful for, John, looking back almost at this full year? 11 issues or 11 months have gone by since 2017 debuted on the newsstand. And so far, what is the best thing that's happened in the comic fan world, in your opinion?
Like, of 2017?
That would be it, yes.
The Wonder Woman movie. Best thing that happened. I mean, like, I have to admit, like, it was... And that was a good movie. Whether you can, you don't have to like anything else about that. Good casting, strong plot. That's what I liked about it. And I loved, don't get me wrong, I still loved Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I thought that was phenomenal. Me and Mr. Thomas saw that today. Seeing it in the theater with my boy Roy Thomas was fantastic too. And him laughing at some parts, and you know, kind of, that was a thrill. I got to admit, you know, I loved, because I never liked Star Wars, but I always get that Star Wars feeling when Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, you feel that, you know? I don't know what it was, but the only thing I liked from Star Wars was those cups, those glasses they were giving away at Burger King. I don't know why.
Okay. Went all over in that answer, but sure. We're going to say Wonder Woman was his thing he was thankful for.
What about you, Mitchie?
I was going to say one more successful Terrificon, another volume put on the bookshelf of fandom here in the Nutmeg State as I produced the greatest Comic-Con ever. That's what I'm always thankful for. Every year, Terrificon was the best. I had more than one memorable moments throughout those 3 days. It was just terrific. But if I had to pick one particular thing that made me happy this year, I would have to say the return of Captain America from his Hydra sleep in the Marvel comics. What do you think about that, John? That's kind of weak, huh?
That's my answer, Mitch.
Wow, really? All right, I was trying to be the Marvel guy. As you professed your love for the Wonder Woman film, I'd have to say it was Cap coming back. I know, it's weak, but that's all I got right now.
That was horrible. That's the comics. You want to throw comics at me, DC and Marvel.
Oh, let's not start there. Legacy. It's a nightmare.
And if you want me to throw this at you, you're talking about terrific on favorite parts. My favorite part was when you put Roy's line was starting to get out of control. We had to move Roy outside. It was just ridiculous. That was fun.
And I called him Elvis. And
yeah, he loves that. He likes that. He told me. I was like, yeah. You like when Mitch calls you Elvis? He's like, yeah. Because, you know, he's a big Elvis guy.
Come on, Elvis. We got to move you out to the lobby. Fire Marshal says you're crowding the exits. Getting nuts.
That was awful. Because nobody could believe. I mean, like, I knew he was going to have a big line, but that was insane. And it was insane all these 2 days. But, my God, on Saturday, that was just insane. And let's not forget about was that earlier this year we went to Carbonaro show in March, right? Mike Carbo,
who turned 60 the other day. Yes, we did go there and we brought the famed Spider-Man suit.
He turned 600.
Well, they forgot one of the zeros. Yeah.
600.
Yes, Mike Carbo of the famed Big Apple Comic Con is still with us and he is 6 decades old.
Still sucking blood, believe me. But that show was unbelievable. How great! Roy had the biggest line in the place. I remember he was messing up the whole joint, the whole comic cast.
I think I'll go and see the Justice League one more time this week. I got, you know, the kids are home for Thanksgiving.
Let me throw a negative at you with the Justice League, just to show I'm not I'm not being biased here. I got to admit, when they had Superman, when he broke free, and then he was in the air, like he was in the air before he landed, that was kind of honky. I was kind of like, wow, the CGI was a little iffy here. I was kind of like, you can't get away with that stuff anymore. It's got to be
perfect, because that little, when that villain was yelling at the end of that fight scene, I'm like, wow, that looks like a video game.
Yeah, and it's
gonna, a little rubbery.
It gets a little rubbery, and it's kind of like, you still see that a little even on the Hulk, you know?
Oh, yeah, in the Marvel movies, there's a couple times I'm like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, like, you got to admit, though, in about another few more years, as technology rises, I think they're going to be getting that better. I give it another about 3 to 5 more years, and you're going to have I think it's going to get... It's
going to
look good.
And I had to be remiss. I forgot to mention, changing the subject. This weekend at these various comic conventions I went to when I was shaking hands and kissing babies, I encountered several listeners of the Power Cosmic podcast. That's amazing to me. And the other thing is Scott Martin was actually recognized by Stuart Greenberg over in New Jersey. He recognized Scotty. So we're making a monster here. The man, the fame.
You know what he is? Who is the side guy from Johnny Carson? You know the guy that's
Ed McMahon.
Scott Martin is the Ed McMahon of the Power Cosmic.
It's just amazing to me how it radiates and permeates all of us, and now it has infected Mr. Martin as well.
He's got Power Cosmic fever.
He does. He has been infected with the Power Cosmic. It is oozing from every...
I'm even thinking, we should do, a video where we both sing with some music behind us.
Also, this weekend I had Ming Chen on the show, or, our old
Ming
friend.
Ming looked a little puffy, too. I saw some pictures with Ming, and I'm like, his head got more...
We're wrong. All becoming puffy, John. Except you.
No, it's just that, you can tell that, he's living the good life.
Yeah, he had his brand new Luke Skywalker replica jacket from 1980.
Yeah, I saw that. That was
I said,
weird.
What is this? And the funniest bit, I said, they used to sell that to kids back in the 80s. He goes, where do you think I do my shopping? I shop at Baby Gap. I couldn't stop laughing. He's funny and he knows.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. So, there you go. You remember those clothes, those accessories they used to sell for Action Jackson and G.I. Joe? Ming puts them on. He's lifelike.
How is Ming? How is he doing?
He's fine. Ming is fine. Ming is there. He's back on TV and everything's cool. Everything's royal.
Let me ask you this, though.
What?
When is Comic Book Man even on? Is it even
It was on last night. They had a salute to Jack Kirby's 100th birthday. It was on, so...
Mitch, let's say online, when you got into your little scruff with a Terrificon with Robert Bruce, please tell the people what you guys were saying. That's the funniest.
Mr. Robert Bruce, who's pop culturist, who's on that show quite often, was quite upset when he found out that I did not keep him at the Mohegan Sun with my other guests, but I put him down the street at the Holiday Inn with my staff. And he started yelling about why he wasn't being treated like the star that he is. And he happened to do that publicly right in front of my guests, Mr. Finn Jones and Jessica Hennick, stars of Iron Fist. And he was ranting before the show opened right there by the escalator. And I just turned around and said, listen, you're not a star. You're on some pseudo-reality show that airs at 2:30 in the morning. And it's up against Sunrise Semester and The Preacher on the other channel and a test pattern. So why don't you just get in that elevator and go upstairs and sit there and stew? Because you're only watched by about 12 people. Three of them are heroin addicts and the rest are insomniacs. Now get the hell out of my face. Oh my God, I was on one of my classic rants that you can't stop it. So, and he just stood there, he stood there dumbfounded, didn't know what to say, and just put his tail between his, he put his that whatever thing that grows on his head in between his legs and ran up the stairs.
And when those doors are open to you, you can't stop. You just keep
going. Oh, I know. And I look over at Iron Fist and Colleen Wing, and they just eyes wide open, look down, start to sign autographs. Like, oh Christ, he's nuts. I've only done that a couple times. If you ever want to see the Hulk out of Mitchie, you go behind the scenes at Terrificons or whatever show I'm doing. You'll see it. It happened in Bridgeport with Mr. Ray Park when he was in the back room drinking a beer, and I walked in and they were telling me there wasn't enough water for the celebrities, and I grabbed a water bottle and I threw it so hard it exploded against a brick wall. And then he just got up and ran out of the room. I mean, when you can scare Darth Maul, you got power.
No, right. But I got to admit, Mitchie, you've been able to handle it. As the years progress with Terrificon, I have to admit, this year I even said to you, you seem to have...
Mellowed out?
Wait. Let me just throw this out there. People that don't know Mitchie can break down. Like, he can snap and he can break, especially when there's pressure on him. Sometimes it's hard for him to deal with.
I Hulk out.
No, but I have to admit, and I even said it to you, you handled it really good this year. You could tell you were a little more experienced, you had more fun, but it was like you enjoyed it more. You weren't just stressing through it, I have to admit, this year, so I can't wait to see what happens in 2018.
Because I'm getting better at it. I'm getting more terrific-er every year.
Mitch, you don't even remember this. In the second one, you were going nuts for something because some table and all that. And I looked at you, and I think it was the year I was next to Ming. And I go, Mitch, you need a hug. And you go, yeah. And I get you. I don't think you. And, just, yeah. And then you went back off into getting crazy again. It's like little Mitchy came out for a brief moment.
I might have been calmer this year because I was recovering from walking pneumonia and I couldn't breathe a lot. So,
yeah, you didn't know if you were even going to make it to tournament. How many times you would scald me and you'd be like,
my competitors were sticking so many pins in their Mitchy dolls this year, it almost got me.
Yeah, they did. You were breaking. But then you came back. But you handled it better. I have to admit, Mitch, you handled it like a champ. I can't wait for next year, like I said.
If the people knew the love fest that goes on between con promoters behind the scenes. If I had a dime for every time there was a death wish against little Mitchy. Anyway. But that's our dirty laundry. We're not putting that out there on Front Street. We're going on too long. I got a whole show. This is like over an hour and a half more. When you hear the rest of this, coming up, you will hear cosplayer David Deventer, retired Wonder Woman, Tom DeFalco, Kevin Maguire, Keith Giffen. Everybody makes an appearance on this upcoming episode because you were too busy at the Raynham Flea Market in Raynham, Massachusetts, booth A89 and 90. And I was out there freewheeling with the microphones, recording anybody who had a pulse. So let's get... We're going to get to that now, John. So you go have a nice Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time. We're working on our special super secret Power Cosmic Records 2 episode. So
no. That's going to be fun.
All right. So say, come on, end it. I want to go. Say it.
And that's that.
And that's that. Goodbye.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.